our friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
Incredibly reasonable, thoughtful, and introspective person.
Said nobody ever. We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Yep, I completely agree. I think that's what's going to happen to you, and honestly, I think you kind of deserve it. So there.
Why is that?
Oh, I don't know. You strike me as a terrible person.
Fair enough.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
We're just betting other people's children now? I think that's a problem.
Yeah, I'll steal a baby. You think I'm above stealing a baby, Eli?
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Hello and welcome to the Friends with Fantasy Benefits Tuesday DFS podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Miller. With me as always on Tuesdays, my co-host, Eli Rosensway. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. We only got 44 minutes and 45 seconds to go, so let's get this going.
Man, you are on top of it, just a slave driver on the other side of the mic the last couple episodes. But hey, I'm just going to let everyone know up front, I kind of hate today's slate, so they're going to get to hear a lot of your voice, and this time frame is going to be all in your hands.
Oh, well, so what you're saying is people already started to tune out.
Yeah, basically. They tune in for me, they find out I'm not going to talk, and then they just go and they're like, well, I guess I'll wait till next Tuesday because I'm sure it's not going to listen to Werner on Friday.
Yeah, who could blame you?
All right, so we will jump right into it here. We'll get into the pitching slate. Just not a lot of names I'm in love with on Tuesday's lineup here, but a couple of names that I think we should at least talk about. I do want to get your opinion on the top name, as we usually like to discuss that guy at the top of the pitching slate. Corey Kluber is $13,400. He is at Atlanta with Weisler against him here. You defending Mr. Weisler right before we got on the podcast, so tell me if Kluber's worth this start, and then I also want to hear your defense of Weisler.
Well, I don't really have a major defense of Weisler. I just feel like we were really hard on him a couple weeks ago, but he's not that terrible. He's not good. But if you can afford Kluber here, go right ahead. He's an elite pitcher, tons of strikeouts, has an incredible chance at a win. Cleveland never loses these days, goddamn them. Obviously, Atlanta's offense is terrible, so Kluber is fairly affordable at 13-4. Considering that we don't love any of the other pitchers, then maybe this is the time to go spend. And there are some cheaper bats that we're going to talk about later that you can put in there if you want to put Kluber in. I'm not currently doing it, but it seems like a pretty viable play.
Yeah, I'm with you. As far as recommending high-end pitching, this is one that I feel more confident in than most of the other ones. Kluber's been on a bit of a roll lately, Atlanta being a bad offense, and I think the floor is really high here, and I think there's really high upside. So I think if you're going to spend 13-4, it's not a terrible spot to do it. The one guy that I think that you can spend a little bit of money on that I might like just a little bit more is Lester. Lester's the number two pitcher on the slate. He's about $1,700 cheaper at 11-7. He's at Cincinnati, but I wanna get your opinion on Lester here. He's been pretty dynamite for about six or seven starts here, and obviously a pretty terrible offense in Cincinnati to go up against here.
Yeah, I love the Lester play. It's $1,700 cheaper than Kluber. Speaking of guaranteed wins, there is no way Lester's losing to John Lamb. Also, Lester's actually been a lot better on the road. The Reds are 24th against lefties in OPS. I think this is the better play.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do really like Kluber. I think the floor, like I said, I think the floor is high and the ceiling's high also. But I feel the same way about Lester in this case, and it might even be higher than Kluber's and at a cheaper price. So if you're going to spend, that's my personal recommendation. I didn't wind up doing that, as we'll get to later, just because I do. But if you are going to do it, that's my number one play. The next guy I'll jump down to is Zach Greinke. Greinke has Philadelphia coming in. Philadelphia, obviously, just in one of the slumps to end all slumps here through their last about month's worth of games. They've been pretty terrible, not scoring any runs. Greinke coming off a little bit of a shaky outing, but that was at Cotto, and about the last four or five starts prior to that, he was pretty dynamite. So at 10-6, any interest in Greinke?
Yeah, I have some interest. He's had, I think, five straight quality starts. So actually, the last one, was one-third of an inning short. But he's been really good lately, pretty good strikeouts. But it's Philly. Philly's one of the worst teams against righties in OPS, so it's a good matchup for him. Great chance at a win. I still think I'd rather pay the $1,100 more for Lester in this case, But this is pretty, and I don't think you can really afford both of them. You could do it, but I just think there's so many good high-end options at the plate that you want to get a couple of those guys in there. So I think you kind of have to pick which one you're going to go with. If I were to pick between these two, I think the Lester is worth the $1,100 more.
Yep, I'm in agreement with you there. Green just a little tick less consistent than he was last season. Not that I think he's going to have any trouble with Philadelphia here, but I really do like Lester's matchup, and I think he's going to destroy the Cincinnati lineup. So I'm in agreement with you completely. As we continue along here, mid-tier, cheaper end options. Lance McCullers is at LA. Obviously, LA, not a team that puts up a ton of runs. McCullers has been pretty consistent since that first start at Boston. He's pretty much given, you know, right around 15 to 30 points, somewhere in that range every time. Obviously, that's quite some variance there, but he's not blowing up on anybody. So at $800, this was actually my favorite of the mid-tier options. I want to get your perspective on it also.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. Obviously, McCullers is very good in the strikeout department. LA is a great place to pitch. The Angels stink on offense for the most part. I think this is definitely the best option in the 8,000 or so range, and I feel like he's going to be pretty highly owned. So if that's something that scares you, maybe stray away from him. But I think it's a pretty solid play considering we don't love a lot of the options at the lower end.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. He is in my lineup here. When we get to those at the end of the show, I like him at that price tag. I think he is going to be pretty highly owned. I'm willing to concede that in Tuesday's slate just because I don't like very many other options, and I wanted to get somebody on the cheaper side, so that's just a fact of life I'm gonna have to live with tomorrow, I think. But at $8,300, I think it's a completely reasonable price. Next name I'll throw out that I like, and then I'm damn near about to turn it over to you because there's just not a lot of stuff I want to talk about in the pitching department. But Adam Conley is at Detroit. Conley's $7,900. He's been pretty steady. Did have one stinker of an outing in Arizona about three starts ago, but that has been pretty consistent lately. Detroit struggling to score in that series against Cleveland over the end. Obviously, lots of teams struggled to do that, and Cleveland, pretty good baseball team, contrary to what I might have believed a month or so ago. They don't appear to be playing very good baseball. I want to try and get somebody in there against them. They've been pretty good against lefties this year. I think their last two starts, they've pretty much been dominated by them, and I'm not too concerned with it. One of those started CC Sabathia. The other one against Paxton, they did wind up hitting him up a little bit late, but I think that was let him hang around too long. So I'm not too worried about the fact that you got a righty loaded lineup when they're not playing this that well, and then you don't have to worry about JD Martinez currently either. So $7,900 I think is going to be a decent price tag, and I think some people are going to be scared off by the Detroit Mets.
Scared off a little bit. I like Conley better at home than on the road. Detroit, sure. I know Detroit's not fully healthy, and Miguel Cabrera's been pretty bad against lefties this year, but these sluggers have a pretty good track record against lefties. I know it hasn't bared out all that much this season, but you know, it's a pretty good price for a guy that's capable of getting some strikeouts. But I think there's one guy that's, if you're going to go the cheap route, like I think you're doing with the McCullers and Conley, I like it, but I feel like the McCullers and one other guy is a better combination, and that would be Matt Harvey. I can't quit this guy. I know he only had 69 strikeouts in 85 innings, and that's really disappointing. And I know at Washington's not the best matchup in the world, but
it's a bad matchup, Eli.
It's not great, but 1,400, okay. I mean, like, Harvey versus Conley, like, come on. Who's better?
No,
it's Harvey, and it's $1,400 cheaper. I can't trust Conley on the road against a pretty decent team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna defend it, you know, that extensively here. I don't think Harvey's gonna have a good start against Washington. He hasn't been good lately. He's been pedestrian, I guess I'll phrase it that way. And right. Conley, you know, he's been pretty productive three of those last four starts. So I'm willing to gamble there because I just don't think that the Tigers playing very well right now. I mean, even with a lineup like that, I still feel comfortable. I think Conley's got much better win potential than Harvey does. Detroit's going to be throwing Mike Pelfrey in that game, which just sounds like gas can. So I'm going to go ahead and gamble with it. I understand the price difference, but I was still able to build the offense in the way that I was comfortable. So I just feel safer with Conley, which isn't something I thought I would have said coming into the season. Let's put it that way.
All right, so no one Harvey for you. That's fine. There are three other guys that are a little bit cheaper than McCullers. I'm kind of curious to Conley. I mean, curious to see if you like any of them at all. Michael Walker, 7,600. He's got three straight quality starts. He's got 75 strikeouts in 88 innings. I know he's been the guy that's been disappointing this year, but he has been better lately. What do you think about him?
I don't think that's terrible, and I don't really like Casey's offense, so that actually might be one that that I would consider. I probably should take a little bit of a closer look at that because he has had three pretty solid starts times out. But Casey is a different beast at home too, so I don't know. I don't know if I like it better. It's something I might go back and consider. I don't think there's a glaring issue with that. I like that St. Louis gets to play against Ventura. I don't like Ventura. He does always dominate the Tigers, but outside of that, I just don't think he's all there. I don't mean that like from a mental perspective, even though that's probably the case also.
No,
I just don't think he's panning out to be the pitcher we thought he might have been like 2-3 years ago. So he doesn't really scare me. But I think that's reasonable. I won't make a strong case against that.
What about Julio Urias at 7,400? I say no on that one because I feel like if he was at home, then I'd consider it. But not only is he on the road, but it would kind of be a minor miracle if he pitched six innings.
Yeah, I'm there's a couple pitchers that I'm just not touching it anywhere in DFS right now. Urias is one of them, and that's not an indictment on his ability. I think he's going to be great. But I won't touch Julio Urias. I won't touch Michael Fulmer. And now that Lucas Giolito is up here, which we'll get to him in a second, I'm not touching him at all this year either. Because I don't think any of these guys are ever... I mean, their potential to go seven is so minuscule compared to anybody else. And their potential to only go about four... or less than five is also really high, which means they're not going to get you a win. I don't like it at all. I don't think Urias is going to be bad at Milwaukee. I just don't think he's going to put up enough numbers where he's going to give you a lot of upside. 7,400 is not a terrible price tag, but it's just I don't think there's enough upside for it.
Yeah, I think I agree. What about Chris Archer? $7,300. He's got a 2.62 home ERA. I know it's Boston.
Yeah. No, he was definitely one of the ones that I was considering originally. And if you do listen to the Friday podcast at all, you'll know that me and Mike, we usually wind up talking about Archer every episode. It seems always pitching on Friday, but I'm just a little bit gun shy with Boston, even with Boston not playing quite as well lately. And this not being in Boston, basically this comes down to Eli was there was some Boston hitters that I had some really nice prices that I felt were more valuable than getting Archer into my lineup, and I'm obviously not going to play both. So that's kind of where I fell on that side of it.
I want to get to the aforementioned Giolito. Are you willing to play him at 6,400?
I am not willing to play him at 64. We were talking about this before we started the podcast. He's got two straight starts in the minors that were fairly underwhelming. He's walking a lot right now. It's his first major league start. I have a feeling he's going to be a little bit rattled. He's going to be playing the Mets. He'll be in front of a big home crowd in that series. I don't love it. And that's, again, not an indictment. I actually, talent-wise, I kind of prefer Giolito to Urias personally. But I'm sorry. Hey, we all have our own opinions. That's one of mine. Giolito's my favorite pitching prospect.
Yeah, sure. I love him too. But I think Urias is going to be a legend. I really do.
He might. I mean, I will totally be wrong. I'm not expecting Urias to be bad by any stretch of the imagination, but I just really like Giolito. But no, I'm not going to pay it in his first start. If he shows it to me a couple times and the Met Nationals show me some propensity to let him go six-plus innings, then maybe I'd consider it. I just don't think that's even a remote possibility.
All right, we got one more pitching name I feel like we've got to talk about. Jose Quintana, 10,400. Man, this guy's just underrated. He's just so consistent, so reliable. He's having his best year. The Twins are 25th against lefties in OPS. Quintana has a 2.55 home ERA, and he's getting almost a strikeout per inning. So are you willing to pay $10,400 for Quintana?
I'm not.
Why are you hating?
There's a couple of things here. Twins offense has been pretty productive lately. I've been burned twice in the last week putting up against them. So that's something that has me a little bit concerned. Obviously, U.S. Cellular is a pretty nice park to pitch in, or hit in. I mean, so I don't know. I don't really love Quintana at home. And then two of his last four starts haven't been all that great. I mean, he got shelled by Boston, which, you know, it's at Boston. Whatever, it happens. People get shelled there all the time. But he only lasts 4 2/3 against Detroit starts prior to that.
You just wanted to throw that in there to rub it in.
No, I'm not. Trust me. I don't think that that's a good baseball team. I don't think the White Sox are good either, but trust me, I'm not rubbing it in with Detroit. So I just don't think so. If I was going to pay $10,000 for somebody, I would rather play Greinke against Philly for $200 more than Quintana, and I'd rather play Lester for $11,700 than contend for also. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to rain on your parade. I have some relatively close prices there that I prefer.
Spoiler alert, he's in my premier lineup. I might change that, but I think he's a better play than you do. But we are not trending. We are not trending well on time. We talked about pitchers for 15 minutes, which means we have a million offensive guys to talk about in 30 minutes. So why don't we move on to catchers?
Okay, well, I'm going to let you pretty much rapid fire through through every position play here because there's not a whole lot that I love. So starting in catchers, a couple guys that I know you like, we'll start with Matt Wieters.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can attack a guy that used to be a fifth starter for the White Sox, you kind of have to do it. And that would be Eric Johnson in this case for San Diego. Wieters is, you know, one of the best power-hitting catchers in baseball. He's been really good the last month or so. $3,900 is a perfectly reasonable price. I think it's a good play.
Yep. I'm not going to have any arguments on any of this.
Yeah, we talk about Wieters every goddamn time.
We really do, but Wieters is always fairly reasonably priced. In fact, at 39, I think it's probably the highest we've seen him, or pretty dang close.
Perhaps.
It's got to be close. So he's always pretty cheap, and he's a guy who's got some power. Guy that you're interested in, Wilson Contreras at Cincinnati against John Lamb, $4,200. Price is already climbing.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it. I love Contreras, but that's kind of expensive for a catcher that's only been up for a week or so. I know he's been hot, but he hasn't. None of his three homers have been against a lefty, so I think I want to see some lefty success before I'm willing to pay up that much money for a catcher. So I thought we should talk about him, but I'm not willing to put him in my lineup this time.
No, I'm not either. $4,800, that's a massive increase after about a week's worth of games. I'm not interested in it until it stabilizes a little bit more in the mid to low threes. Nick Hundley, obviously, Colorado is at home here. Hundley with a little bit of power, got Toronto coming in. Another guy that you're interested in.
Yeah, only if you I think he's the best option if you go in the really cheap route. Mm-hmm. He's killing lefties in a small sample size. That's not really what he does historically, but right now it's working and it's Coors Field. So roll with it if you got to go cheap.
Yeah. Then the one guy I'll throw in here, continue on, is Sal Perez. $4,000 is a little bit on the steeper side, but Sal Perez, pretty productive DFS play this year because he's pretty much just selling out for power at this point. I mean, he's still hitting damn near 300, but he has been. His peripherals are showing that he's pretty much just selling out to try and hit the ball a long way, which I'm a big fan of when I'm considering DFS options. And Michael Wacha on the mound, I know we just got done talking about him. You know, I don't think he'll probably have a terrible game, but I definitely think he'll get tagged for a few runs. And I think Perez is more than capable of being the source of some of those.
My favorite catching play on the board is actually Chris Iannetta. I know it's certainly not the sexiest name out there, but
It's one of the least sexy.
I know, but he is his slash line against lefties is .299, .407, .468. That's like Buster Posey shit right there. So Chris Iannetta against lefties is Buster Posey. There, I said it.
Is he the Babe Ruth of catchers?
I didn't go that far.
Okay.
I feel like I've been throwing around.
Is Buster Posey the Babe Ruth of catchers?
He used to be, not anymore.
No, he's... Yeah, I think Iannetta is a reasonable play. I don't think Nice is very good. Seattle, obviously, Safeco, not the best place to hit, but, you know, you take what you can get. You got a bad pitcher on the mound, go ahead and roll him out there.
One last catcher. What do you think about Real Muto against your precious Mike Pelfrey?
I think starting anybody on any side of the plate against Mike Pelfrey is a reasonable play.
I figured you'd say that. 3,900.
Yeah, let's.
I mean, he's hitting 300, and both lefties and righties are hitting 300 off Pelfrey, so... You gotta think.
The one thing about Pelfrey I will say is that he really doesn't give up that many home runs. He usually winds up just getting beaten because he's giving up a shit ton of hits as opposed to just power strokes. So I do think there's probably a little bit of limit on the home run potential there, and Real Muto not showing a ton of power this year anyway. So it's probably not my favorite play, but I think he's clearly more than capable of getting a hit or two and maybe scoring a couple runs. So, you know, potential's there. I think it's bad. First base?
Yes.
All right, first base. So we'll start it off for you again here. I think you told me your favorite play on the day, Justin Bour against Mike Pelfrey.
Well, I don't know if he's my favorite play, but it's a really solid one. I know 5,100 seems a little ridiculous for a non-elite first baseman, but you know what? It's time we give Bour some love. He's had a really good year.
Yeah.
He's got a 1,500 OPS in his last 10, so he's hot. And lefties show pretty good power against Pelfrey. So I love Bohr.
Yeah, I got no argument with it. I think I'd find myself balking a little bit at the $5,100 price tag even against Pelfrey. So I don't know if I would do it, but I certainly think it's a reasonable option. Again, I don't fault anyone for starting players against Mike. Another guy you're interested in, Victor Martinez, $4,500. Miami coming into Detroit this time, so you don't have to worry about him not being in the lineup for the whole game. Conley on the mound, as we mentioned here. What's the interest level in Victor?
Victor's crushing lefties. He's coming off a 2-homer game the other day. I just think it's a good price for. I mean, he just had a really good year. I think, if I recall correctly, he started off really slow, maybe, but since then he's been incredible.
He had runs in his first two at bats of the season.
Okay, well, I stand correct. I guess he started he off the opposite of slowly.
Yeah. Well, that was two pinch hits. He was fairly pedestrian for about 2 to 3 weeks after that. But yeah,
so I was kind of right then.
Yeah, he's pretty much been hitting 320 to 330 since then, which you obviously know means a lot of line drives and hitting some gaps because Victor Martinez ain't getting no infield singles.
Yeah, I think that people kind of wrote him off because he had a down year last year, right?
Well, he was hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I think people were like, oh, he's getting older, he got hurt. But he's been incredible. 319 with 14 homers, he's been great.
Yep, he's been very good. So you prefer him at 45 as opposed to Miguel at 46?
Absolutely. Miguel has been dreadful against lefties. I know it's not a massive sample size, but I'm sorry. I'm not playing against a lefty right now.
He's been very bad against lefties, and he hasn't been hot since about the first game of that Seattle series. About 5-6 games ago, he's been bad. But,
plus, according to you, Adam Conley is probably going to throw a perfect game. So,
yeah, I mean, potential. I think the potential is there. I mean, I don't think Adam Conley's going to be freaking amazing or anything, so I wouldn't fault anyone for getting Miggy in there, but I agree with you. I think Victor's the smarter play at this point right now. Kind of veer away from Miggy until he flips the switch again. Another guy that I think we're both actually interested a little bit here, Minnesota's got Gibson on the mound, Jose Abreu, $4,200. I was considering him here originally. I kind of like that price.
For him. I love it, yes. Abreu's kind of been Jose Abreu for the last 3-4 weeks, so... Now I kind of was off him for a little while, but now that he seems to be back and the prices haven't really jumped up all that high, I think I'm going to be riding Abreu a lot for the next couple weeks probably.
Yeah, and a bad pitcher on the mound for Minnesota. Yes. I mean, it's Minnesota, so they're all
There was no option for it to be a decent pitcher for Minnesota.
Right.
So.
Yep, completely agree. Another guy that I'll mention briefly here, Eric Hosmer, walk on them again. I think that's a reasonable play there. $4,300. Hosmer's been pretty dang good this year.
Understatement. He's been fantastic.
Yeah, he has been fantastic. So, I he's never priced up. I don't think I've seen.
Yeah,
a five,
I think it's just because he's not an elite power guy. He's just.
But he's got 12 homers. I mean, it's not like he's.
But I know, but historically he's not, and he. It's not like sure. He's on pace for. He's probably on pace for a little under 30 or something like that. But yeah, I just love him. Gives you all around production. So reliable.
And one of the few first base options that could potentially get you a steal. I mean, not counting on it, but it can happen.
True that.
Let's see here. Carlos Santana. Carlos Santana been pretty damn good lately. Atlanta's got wise on the mound.
You just want to pick against. Yeah, exactly. That I know your true motives here.
No, I'm not gonna say that I don't wanna get guys in against Weisler, but I mean Santana's been pretty good lately. He had a home run in that series against Tigers, home run in the series against Tampa. I mean, he's always a guy who's gonna take his walks and get on base. Still leading off that damn lineup for Cleveland. So as long as he's there, you know, there's pretty good run potential since for some reason they're freaking scoring a million runs. So yeah, I mean, I think $4,300 for Santana is a pretty damn good price. All right. And then, you've got a couple of guys on the cheaper end of things here, that you want to touch on.
Ryan Rua for $3,900. He's also outfield eligible. It's funny cause, a week or two ago, I mentioned Ryan Rua that I loved him and I ended up cutting it from the podcast cause we ran a little long and because I stuttered throughout the whole thing and I cut it out. And what do you know? I think he hit 2 homers that day or something stupid like that. So I'm like, God damn it. I wish I had just kept it in there. So this time,
world will never know, Eli. The world can never know if that's true or not. I certainly don't remember it.
Oh, come on. Anyway.
No, it did happen, but thank I you. Think the world knows that I'm not the most trustworthy source either. So.
Also true.
Who really knows?
Dae Ho Lee at 3,600 is pretty good. He's slugging over 500 against righties and lefties. He's got the platoon advantage in this particular matchup, so I think that's pretty solid. And then the play of the day, probably, this is a great play. A.J. Reed at 2,600. Obviously, he's got great power. He's facing Tim Lincecum, just a wretched individual. I love Tim Lincecum, but just I can't trust this guy.
But he is a scum-of-the-earth individual.
No, I didn't mean it like that. I love Lincecum. He was one of my favorite players in baseball history to watch. But I just can't trust him to be good anymore. I know his first start was good, but I think his second start is going to be more indicative of what we're going to see the rest of the way. And, you know, putting a power-hitting first baseman for 2,600 in your lineup really lets you do other things. It lets you go crazy expensive with the pitching if you want to do, or lets you get a ton of premier bats in your lineup. So I just think, even though he's probably going to be fairly highly owned, you just have to do it.
Yep, I agree with you. I think A.J. Reed is a nice little sleeper play there, and I certainly think I'm anticipating Lincecum's about to get blown up in this start against the Astros. So
yep.
I guess we'll see if that comes to pass. But we will move on to second base now to keep within our time constraints for you, Eli.
Yeah, we're not going to make it, but let's keep going.
No, we are going to make it because we're going to cruise right here. Jose Altuve, good start against Tim Lincecum. We just touched on that, yes. Yeah?
Yeah, obviously, I like Altuve better against lefties, but he's a stud against everyone, so absolutely.
And Lincecum with that 90-mile-an-hour fastball. I feel okay about it. Guy I'm interested in, Devin Travis. Travis coming off a pretty solid weekend. They're at Colorado. Eddie Butler's on the mound. This seems like a nice spot for him. I don't love the $4,900 price tag, but I don't think it's really all that bad either.
It's not terrible considering it's Coors and Eddie Butler's just dreadful. But when Altuve is priced the same, it's just really hard to pull that trigger on Devin Travis.
I agree with that. I mean, I think I wouldn't be surprised if Travis outperforms him because obviously it's single game. Who knows what the hell's gonna
happen. If Travis ran a little bit more, I would do it in a heartbeat. But he's more of a just power only kind of guy. I wish he ran just a little bit more.
Well, it's not like Jose Altuve runs anymore since all he does is hit jacks.
That's fine though.
All right, so we'll get along. Another guy you were kind of interested in here, Brian Dozier, $4,400 against Quintana. Tell me why.
Yeah, well, he's hitting 300 with a 540 slugging against lefties, and Dozier has been a lot better the last month overall. So before I was saying like only play Dozier against lefties. Now at least he's hitting righties as well, so he's gotten better. I'm not putting him in my lineup because he's a guy a little bit cheaper that I love even more, but Dozier's definitely a good option.
Yep, and we can start recommending Brian Dozier again, so that's a good feeling. Your favorite play of the day, you told me.
Well, I guess A.J. Reed's probably my favorite play of the day, but when I saw this price on Ian Kinsler, I'm like, that has to be a typo. I mean,
$4,200.
Has he been the second-best second baseman in baseball this year? I think that's fair to say, right, behind Altuve?
I think, yeah, I mean, Cano's got 19 homers.
Yeah, Cano's been great too, but Kinsler's been incredible.
I think it's those three, and it's damn close between the three of them.
Yeah, I think you're right on board there. Kinsler's been terrific, and against the lefty, come on, he's hitting 361 with a 566 slug. So,
yeah,
I'm all.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. If I wasn't starting Conley, I think I would definitely be in on Kinsler. So I think that's fair. Another guy that I kind of have some interest in is Kipnis. This is, again, just me kind of picking on Weisler a little bit. And Kipnis has been picking it up a little bit at the plate lately, so I felt comfortable with that. But, again, $4,100, there's a couple other guys around that price range that I might prefer, Kinsler being one of them if I don't have Conley in the lineup. So I think I don't think it's bad, but I think that's a completely reasonable play. We'll move along here. Javier Baez, $4,000. I think that's a little pricey for me, but I know you have some interest in Baez here.
He's slugging 578 against lefties. John Lamb is one of the worst lefties in the business. So he's also eligible at third. So there's not a lot of third basemen I like. So that's a guy maybe you consider there instead. But I'm not going to have him in my lineup because they're, you know, I love Kinsler so much. But I think Baez is a really solid option if you want to go a little contrarian. And then there are three really cheap options that I feel like we should touch on real quick. Pedroia for 3,300. I know it's Chris Archer, but let's be
but
real.
Archer isn't Archer anymore. Dude, yeah, the Boston prices are depressed today because Archer's on the mound, and they shouldn't be as depressed as they are.
Yeah, they're like 2015 Archer prices and not 2016 Archer prices. So that's an option. You know, you got hitting, what, third in the order or whatever. That's really good. Second. Colton Wong for 2,800. I know Wong's been really disappointing, but when he was sent to AAA, he really raked. So hopefully now that he's back up, he starts hitting again. And then Arizmendi Alcantara for 2,700. I just think he's going to run wild for Oakland. Their offense is so bad, they're just going to let him go crazy. So if he gets on gets on base, he's already got two steals since his call up a few days ago. So I think if
he's going to steal second and third every time he gets a single,
he might try. So I just think if you have to save a little bit of money, it's an option to try to get some steals.
Yep, I don't have any arguments, any of those suggestions.
All right, so we are it's in terms of time, I feel like we got to make up the ground at third and short. So let's go crazy fast at third and short.
Okay, first names on the list here are Chris Bryant, $5,000 at Lamb or at Cincinnati against John Lamb. I like that play.
Well, yeah, I love like it. That play. He's one of my favorite players in baseball. Slugging .583 against lefties, so yeah, please.
Can you justify it with Arenado against Happ at home in Coors Field for $100?
Well, I have both of them in my lineup. Bryant at outfield and Arenado at third. I mean, that is how can Arenado be under 5,000 at Coors
against? I don't know.
Against a lefty, no less. Like, I know Arenado hasn't been hot lately, but...
And not a good one.
But, like, he murders lefties. He murders at home. John Lamb sucks. Like, oh, my God. If he's at 100% home, people are doing this wrong.
Hap. Not Lamb.
Oh, well, whatever. Hap stinks.
Either way, they're both terrible.
No, Hap's decent, but it's too good of a play.
Yeah, it is really good. I have the next guy actually, and we're going to talk about here is Adrian Beltre at $4,000, which I really like that price. But I am struggling not to get Arenado in the lineup, so there could be some changes.
No, I love that Beltre call. That's a great play. It's a really good price for a good third baseman. He slugging better, much better against lefties. It's a really good idea if you're going a little cheaper there.
Yep, and I feel comfortable with Beltre at that price tag if it's Sabathia, or if Sabathia doesn't wind up making that start, because apparently there's some question marks there. You know, I mean, and any substitute they're going to wind up putting in there, most likely I'm going to feel comfortable again. So don't worry about it if Sabathia doesn't make that play.
Do you like Beltre better at $4,000 or Frazier better at $4,000?
I do actually prefer Beltre.
Yeah, I agree with you. The reason for me is Beltre is good against lefties, and also Frazier is very streaky, and he's not on a good streak right now. So once he gets heated back up, then you ride him. But for now, maybe you stay away.
Yep, I'm with you. We don't have to worry about Valencia this week. Matt Carpenter, $5,000 against Ventura. This was another one I just brought out briefly just because I don't think Ventura is all that great. And Matt Carpenter,
you really just hate Ventura.
I don't like Matt
Carpenter is just such a good hitter, man. I'm in love with him.
Yep, I'm in agreement with you there. And then the one cheap option that I found that I thought was reasonable was a Longoria at $3,400 at Tampa against Porcello. I think there's a lot of better options. If you need to save some money, that was my favorite. That was my favorite play under $4,000.
Yeah, that's not bad. I'm definitely a Longoria guy against lefties mostly, but
sure,
that's such a great price, and Longoria's been really good with 18 homers this year. So yeah, not wrong with that.
All right, so we're going to jump into short then. There's quite a few plays I like here, but most of them don't require a whole lot of discussion. I think Manny Machado at $5,000 is completely reasonable against San Diego if you want to make that play. I think there are probably some better options, but I'm never going to tell you not to play Machado.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would have said. Perfectly reasonable, but it's not a great place to hit, so that makes me lean towards a couple other guys that are cheaper.
Yep. Next guy, Xander, $4,200. He's my favorite, as we just got done discussing Archer, and this isn't the 2015 Archer. I'm hoping it is here shortly, but Xander, I mean, I think still leading the AL on average at .344, has some power.
Well, I think Altuve passed him, but they're neck and neck, I believe.
Okay, he's right there at the top, so he's probably going to get you a couple of hits. He's going to score some runs. He's never going to be cheaper than this, most likely, for the rest of the season, so I think you want to take advantage and try and get him into that lineup on Tuesday. Another guy that you like, Carlos Correa, $4,700 against Lindskomb. We both think Lindskomb's going to get shelled, and then Correa beat back up a little bit here.
Yeah, it's a combination of Lindskomb and Correa was just named AL Player of the Week. I know that's not a big deal, but that just shows that he's heating back up. I know the steals are still disappointing, but he's got four homers this last 10 games. He's actually got more walks and strikeouts in his last 10 games. That's encouraging. So it looks like he's seeing the ball better. I think he's really hot, and you got to ride that.
Yep, I'm with you completely there. I'll touch on Lindor briefly. We touch on Lindor most weeks, it seems like, but still hit.
All right, would you get off the Matt Whistler thing? You play Lindor against lefties, all right?
Dude. No, you don't. It's not a lefty-lefty thing. He's not at a disadvantage. He's a switch hitter. He's fine against either ones. Yes, you prefer him on one side of the plate, but when you have Matt Whistler on the mound, you don't worry about it, Eli. I'm telling you. And he's been damn good. I really like Lindor. All right. Next guy. This will make you happy because Tim Anderson is hitting baseballs with a vengeance lately, showing that home run power that we all thought he had. Tell me why we like Anderson here.
Well, I just think that he's leading off. He's under 4,000. He's got a ton of speed, some pop. Obviously, this homer binge is not going to continue, but he does have some pop. He's more of a doubles hitter, but I know he's only got one steal and he's played, 16 games, but that's going to change.
He's got how many extra base hits does he have? I mean, shit, you'd think he'd have a lot more singles than he's actually had so far.
Yeah, he's got five doubles, a triple, three homers.
Yeah.
Almost half of his hits are extra base hits. The thing that just terrifies me, and I knew this was going to happen, but I was hoping it'd be a little better than this. No walks at 24Ks.
Come on now. You knew he wasn't going to walk.
I know. I just was hoping he'd have won by now. Get off the schneid, Timmy. You just have to learn plate discipline. Don't you want to get on base and steal bases? Come on.
No, he wants to keep hitting jacks and doubles, dude.
That works.
All right. Couple of cheap options at shortstop that you wanted to recommend.
Well, Eduardo Nunez isn't really cheap. $3,800. Yeah. We mentioned him before. He kills lefties. I know it's Quintana, but I mean, he's slugging .638 against lefties. How is that possible? It's Eduardo Nunez. What is happening? But I mean, you got to consider him against lefties. You just have to do it. And also, I don't really like this play, but Christian Adames for $2,200, Colorado infielder. He's batting second on Monday. If he's batting second again on Tuesday, for that price at Coors Field, I don't care if he's not that good. You kind of just have to put him in there.
Do you not care if he's even like Nathy Perez? You just got to.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think they're going to score some runs.
You would think so. And with that, we will cross over into the outfield now. First guy we'll talk about here, guy you're going to recommend every day or every Tuesday for the rest of our lives, Ian Desmond, $5,200. Sabathia on the mound. If Sabathia doesn't make that start, do you start Desmond?
If it's against the lefty, yes. If it's a righty, no. But he's hitting .392 with a .582 slugging against lefties, and obviously the power speed combo that we love. So I love Desmond even at that price.
Okay. Another guy that you were interested in, Nelson Cruz here. He's got a lefty on the mound in John Neese, $5,100. So both those guys a little bit pricey, but probably worth it here.
Yes, .688 slugging against lefties. So I don't, unless it's Kershaw, then I'm probably playing Cruz against lefties.
Oh, what if it's Sale?
All right, Sale's pretty good. Can you imagine if Sale got to pitch in L.A. like Kershaw did? I'm not saying Sale's as good as Kershaw because he's not. But no, Kershaw pitches in the best place in baseball, and Sale pitches in one of the worst places in baseball and in the American League and struck out more batters per nine last year than Kershaw did. So suck it, Kershaw.
Yeah, but still not as good as Kershaw.
I know.
All right. Christian Yelich, $4,700. Against Mike Pelfrey. Yelich, one of your favorite players, as is well documented here. Make the case.
Pelfrey's not good against lefties. Shocking. He's not good against righties either, but that's why
he's also not good against batters with no hands.
So I love Yelich at $4,700. He's just such a good all-around player. He's going to get you a double. He's going to get you a run. He might get three hits. He's going to steal a base maybe. He's always on base. He's always scoring runs. He's always doing something that will help you.
He's always doing some things. And then another Miami Marlin you were interested in, Giancarlo Stanton at 48. The price starting to creep back up for Giancarlo here.
I don't have him in my lineup because I think there's some other elite outfield options, but he is starting to heat back up. And again, Pelfrey blows. So maybe Stanton launches you two homers.
Yep, I'm with you.
He's cutting down the strikeouts a little bit, so that's encouraging as well.
All right, yeah. I get it. I like the idea, Eli.
Thanks.
Next guy we'll bring up here, I think he's probably my favorite outfielder, one of two anyway. Ryan Braun's $4,800. This is against Urias. You got the righty lefty advantage here. Braun's been really good this year, quietly really really good. And I think he can expose Urias. And then obviously I think it's potential to get into the Dodger bullpen. Not that that's a bad bullpen necessarily, but end an early start, get a lefty on the mound. I think that's a nice spot for Braun.
Yeah, slugging .633 against lefties. So even though we like Urias, I still think it's a pretty good price for, facing a lefty.
Yep, completely agree. Next guy I'll mention is Mookie. Again, I just don't think the Boston offense is think it's far too cheap compared to what Archer's been producing, the clip he's been producing at this year. Betts, 300 hitters, 16 home runs, 50 RBIs or more than 50 RBIs on the season. Incredibly consistent, been very good. And at $4,600, you're probably not going to see him at much cheaper than that price tag the rest of the year.
Just so you know, we're not making 45 minutes, but we're going to come close. All right. George Springer, love that one, 4,600, facing Tim Lincecum. The good thing I like about this is that Springer's starting to run more now, which is really what we wanted to see. So pretty elite power, better speed, bad pitcher. I'm all in.
Yep. All right. I like it. One I'll bring up here also, Franklin Gutierrez. I know that we talked about this one before the show, and you were excited to see that there was a lefty on the mound for Gutierrez. $3,600, so that's a cheaper option for you, and Gutierrez just rakes against lefties.
Yeah, he really does. He'll probably be batting second or third. It's a pretty decent lineup. I mean, Nelson Cruz is going to knock in Franklin Gutierrez for sure.
Yep, that seems very reasonable to me. If Gutierrez doesn't knock himself in by crushing it.
It's a valid point, man.
Yeah, that's right. I'm good on Alf. You got a couple other names you want to touch on, but...
Yosmani Tomas at 4,000. I don't know how he has got 5 homers in his last 10 games, but maybe you want to ride the hot hand. Speaking of hot hands, McCutchen's heating up, 3 homers in his last 10, still only 3,900, so that's a fantastic price. I know he's been disappointing, but if he's heating up...
ain't been all that good either.
Yeah, it's true. Adam Duvall, 3,800. That's a pretty low price for elite power. I know he's facing Lester, but he's got the platoon advantage in a great hitter's ballpark, so... I think you got to consider that. And this one makes me sick, but for 3,600, Ryan Rayburn against the lefty, it's pretty good. And it's at Coors Field, so I think you really got to consider that. I know he hasn't been amazing against lefties this year, but historically he destroys lefties. In fact, I think he owns Chris Sale more than just about anyone on the planet. I know Victor Martinez owns him as well, but there's some players that just kill Sale. Rayburn's one of them and drives me crazy. And then the last one, if going really, really cheap, he may not be in the lineup, but you got to, if he is, I'd consider it. Brandon Nimmo, the Mets. He's only been up for one game. I think he went 0-4, but he's a guy that just gets on base. He's not an elite power hitter or an elite steal threat, but he's capable of doing one or the other. So I think you got to consider that if you got to save some money.
All right, all reasonable suggestions, Eli.
I mean, that's what I do.
You're an incredibly reasonable, thoughtful, and introspective person.
Said nobody ever.
All right, so that will wrap it up for the player suggestions there. So we'll jump into the premier lineups here real quick. But before we do, officialfantasyrings.com promo. Who are officialfantasyrings.com? They're fantasy sports enthusiasts just like you and me, but they're the geniuses who realize that lugging a trophy or belt all around the place wasn't a practical idea to flaunt your victory. So why not buy a championship ring from officialfantasyrings.com so you can punch your defeated foes in the face and leave an imprint of their shame on their forehead for hours to come. And don't forget to use promo code FWFB for 10% off at checkout. All right, Eli, with that, we are going to move into the premier lineups. Would you like to start, or would you like me to start?
I'll get it going. I got Matt Harvey and Michael Wacha at pitcher. I did have Quintana in there. I just made a last-second switch. I got Ionette at catcher, A.J. Reed at first, Ian Kinsler at second, Nolan Arenado at third, Carlos Correa at short, Chris Bryant, Nelson Cruz, and Ian Desmond in the outfield. I mean, that lineup is sick.
Yeah,
I don't have a lot of confidence in the pitching, but I don't think there was a lot of combinations that we were going to do that we were going to have a lot of confidence. So why not go with the sickest offense you can do with, you know, capable pitchers that could have a good outing?
Yeah, no, I'm in agreement with you here. And a full disclosure to the audience, we actually had to pause the recording here just to take a minute to rework some things because we just enjoyed each other's information so much, you know.
Yeah,
so much,
you
Eli.
Criticized Quintana so much that I had to downgrade and then upgrade my offense.
So we do have a lot of similarities today. I did get McCullers in there, and I got Wacha in there as well. I'm playing Wellington Castillo at catcher. I do have A.J. Reed at first. Second base is Kinsler, Arenado at third. I do have Bogarts in at short. And then I have Braun, Bryant, and Cruz in the outfield.
Damn, so we got, I think, 5 of the same offensive pieces?
We've got Cruz, Bryant, Arenado, Kinsler, and Reed. Yeah, we got a lot similar.
Yeah,
I might change it up for you. Put Gutierrez in, and then get Altuve back in there for Kinsler if I wanted to go that route. So that could be the one change I make.
This, I mean, theoretically, you and I have such similar lineups that we could finish 1-2.
I think, Eli, it's almost guaranteed.
Yeah, it's a 50-50 chance. Either it happens or it doesn't.
No, I think it's almost guaranteed that I finish first, and then you probably finish second. Look, I think McCullers scores like 60 points against LA, and that's the difference.
No.
You're going to be upset next week if he does.
I won't be upset if you finish first and I finish second. I mean, obviously, I wish it was the other way around, but good for you if that's what happens.
Yep. Hey, and good to you, too, if that's what happens. I'm just not anticipating it. And with that, we're going to close out the podcast. Eli, let everyone know where they can find you and what you're working on.
Well, first of all, I'd like to apologize for failing at our goal, but we came pretty close, and we did it last week, and Mike and Cam will never do it, so I feel like I'm doing the listeners a great public service by trying to keep these shorter. You can find me on Twitter at EliFWFB.
All right, yes, absolutely. And you can find me at CameronMiller00. Don't forget to listen to us next week for the Tuesday DFS podcast. And I always do the DFS show on Friday with Mike Werner as well. So be sure to check. Also, please rate and review on iTunes if you have the opportunity. We do want to hear from you guys in there just to see if there's things you'd like to hear us talk about, if there's anything you'd like us to cover more in depth, any suggestions to improve the show. We're always open to that. And I do want to thank, I always forget to do this at the top of the show, but I'd like to thank our intro music, Lore Michaels and the Biotones. Appreciate those guys lending some of their music for us to put on the podcast here. And with that, Eli, we will wrap up the show. Go win some money.
I know how we can improve the show. Less Cam.
Yeah, well.